Good evening, everyone. So good to see you all here today. Let me tell you a testimony. Where did I put it? Maybe I can tell it to you without finding it in here. Okay, now we're ringing a little bit there. Okay, I'll tell it to you. Because I felt like the Lord said that He wanted to give us some miracle testimonies that will encourage us, because the Word of God will encourage us. Where's my Bible? The Word of God will put faith inside of our hearts, okay? Nothing else. You know, faith begins where the will of God is known, and you find out what God's will. God says, I want you to be walking in health, and that's my will for you. And so when you find out what His will is, then faith rises up in your heart, and you have a confidence. You're not wondering anymore, does God want me to be sick, or does He want me to be healed? No, you know, you push all those doubts away with the Word of God. And that's what we're here for on Thursdays, is to get that robust, strong faith in you. But also the Lord said that telling testimonies of miracles, things that were just totally impossible, and God made it work, and God made a healing miracle happen, it'll encourage your faith. I mean, you say, yeah, I know God wants me to be healed, but I don't know, you know, what's going on. Okay, that's me. It's really loud still, I think.
Is someone else carrying a microphone?
No, it might just be me. Here, I took the little thing out. It's just sensitive. Okay, anyways, let me tell you this testimony. Oh, you got a mic, Dennis? No, I'm fine. Okay, this. I don't know. I'll hold it for a sec. There was a man that was, let's say, 6'1". How tall are you, Kevin?
6'4".
So not quite as tall as Kevin.
About the size of Dylan.
Maybe the size of Dylan, okay. There was a guy that was, like 200 pounds or something. About that, 6'1". So a pretty good-sized guy. Wow, this is really sensitive today. It's just weird. Got any ideas? So hot today.
Let's do
Don't touch it. Ah, okay, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll have to do the handheld. Because I want you to hear this testimony. It's awesome. Last week we showed a video testimony. John. Okay, good. Last week we showed a video of testimony. Remember with Glenda Jackson and how she told the testimony of her father's healing. But okay, this gentleman, about the size of Dylan, he'd gotten cancer and he'd gotten really down to death's door. The doctor said that he only had like 72 hours to live. Okay, so that's bad. And he was down to 67 pounds. That's really bad. So the wife of this husband, she said to the doctor, she said, you've done all you can do. I'm just going to take him to the miracle. I'm going to go get him a miracle, to the miracle man. And the doctor said, what? You know how some doctors. And she said, nothing's going to help him except a miracle. And he's got 72 hours to live. I mean, he was really so bad off that he wasn't even hardly conscious. He was so almost dead. Okay, well, the doctor was reluctant to do that, and he said, no, you're not going to leave this hospital. You're not going to take him, because he'll die if you try to move him. Well, she said, he's going to die anyway, so I'm taking him. And she was in, I believe it was Alabama, and she had to go over to St. Louis to take him to where R.W. Shambach was having the meeting. And so the doctor said, no, you're not taking him. And she said, give me his clothes. I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him out of the hospital. He said, no. And the doctor hid his clothes so she couldn't take him. He said, I'm going to hide his clothes. She said, well, I'll steal the sheets from the bed then. And so R.W. Shambach was there ministering, And he's up at the front, and in comes this woman carrying a sheet over her shoulder. Down the, it was only one aisle, one middle aisle, so she comes right up to the front, out in the middle of his preaching, and puts, you know, and lays him down. And it was her husband wrapped in the hospital sheet. He was still there. And she said, he needs a miracle. And so the faith, you know what I'm saying? The faith of that woman drew the power of God. And so he, R.W. Shambach, he laid his hands on the almost dead man. He said, I curse this cancer from the root. I command it to die and leave this man's body and healing come. And then he said to the woman, take him on home. He's healed with no change of symptoms at all. And so she picked him back up and put him over her shoulder and took him home. And it was about 6 months later that R.W. Shambach was over in Alabama, where they lived. And he was on the stage setting up for the service, and the people were up there setting up all, everything. And this man comes jumping up there onto the stage, and R.W. Shambach was thinking, why did my my bouncers, whatever you call them, not stop this man? And he came up to R.W. Shambach. He said, you don't even remember me, do you? You don't even recognize me. And he said, no. And he said, I was the guy in the sheet that my wife dragged. And here he was 200 pounds and back to his normal weight. And you could never have told that that guy was about to die, because he was fully alive again. And that cancer was completely gone. He was completely healed. Praise God. What, were you going to say something? Oh, okay. All right. Now, tonight, the Lord wants to tell you one very, very important thing. And that is, excuse me, that is that he loves you. And he wants me to tell you in a way that you, I don't know, really realize how much he loves you. And if you will receive his love, let him love you. Don't fight it. Don't say, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it. That's for somebody else. I just can't. Don't fight it, but just let him hug you, hold you, love you with his words tonight. We use the word, we haven't used it in a while, but the word, the phrase, caressing with your words. The Lord wants to caress you with his words tonight. Praise God. And I told the Lord today, I said, I have no idea why you called me into the healing ministry. Because, I mean, it's not like God looked down and found somebody that was really good at healing ministry and said, oh, they'll be perfect. No, he found me. And I'm just me. And I'm just little me. And a lot of people are offended by little me. But if I'm doing what God told me to do, the Lord will bring healing to you. Miraculous healing. Just like that guy. You're never without hope. As long as your hope is in the Lord. All right. So, tonight, I want to start with Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Thank you, Lord, for your healing words. I'm telling you, as these words from the scriptures come into your heart right now, they're affecting you. You are faithfully here, and the words that God is putting out of healing words is changing you. It's transforming you, Martha. It's changing you. It is. There is something that is really getting a hold of you, and it's so gradual, and it's so maybe unfelt, but there's healing happening on the inside. People that are hurt, really deeply hurt by others, people, they have two choices. They can either go and just inflict hurt on everybody else that they're around and just take that hurt and just let it, fester inside of them, seethe inside of them. And then everywhere they go, they just hurt people all the time. Or they can go run to Jesus and say, ow, Lord, that hurt really bad. Heal me. And the Lord heals their hearts. And then they're a blessing and they have this love that comes from the Father and they're able to be a blessing. Right? There's really only those two choices. And we know, you can think of people that have gone the way of just inflicting their hurts onto other people. And you've seen other people that were a mess and God healed them and restored them and now they're a blessing, right? And that's what we are. That's what you are. Okay, Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which works by love. Do you know that your faith works by love? And I know many times we've heard that in the context of loving others, but I want you to realize this is talking about knowing the love of God that pushes fear out and faith rises up inside you. When you know how much God loves you, your faith will go sky high. You won't. There will be questions that you ask that you won't have to ask. You know, you hear some people say, well, I don't know if the Lord will heal me. Well, you don't know how much he loves you, or you wouldn't even ask a question like that. You know, and some people say, well, I don't know if he'll help me pay my bills. I'm behind on my bills, and I don't know if he cares, if he really wants to help me. Well, you don't know how much he loves you. Because if you knew how much he loved you, you wouldn't even ask that question. Your faith would be so strong. You'd say, oh man, he loves me so much. I know he's going to take me. He's going to take care of me. That's not a problem. He loves me. He's going to take care of me, right? And so one of my favorite stories, and I have to just say it again because you always have new people, but you got to hear one of my favorite stories again. So this family was out in a boat fishing, a father and a daughter and son. And all of a sudden, the little girl fell overboard and went, you know, she fell down into the water. But when she tried to come back up, her sweater got caught on the propeller. It wasn't spinning, but it was still just under the water. Her sweater was caught on it and she was trapped under the water, holding her breath. And so the father, of course, jumped into the water immediately to try to get her. And he saw that she was tangled and he was working feverishly to get her untangled, to get her up out of the water so she wouldn't drown. Finally, he got her loose and she was just holding her breath. Just holding her breath real calmly under the water while her daddy got her free. And when they got back into the boat and realized that she was okay, she wasn't hurt, and nothing serious had happened, they asked her afterward, the little girl, they said, how did you stay so calm? Why weren't you frantic? Why weren't you kicking and going crazy? And she said, because I knew my daddy would get me out of that. And she had that kind of knowledge of her dad's love for her. That she said, I knew he's going to get me out of there. So now 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Think about that. We've known his love and we trust in that love. We believe in his love for us, right? Isn't that awesome? Instead of saying, I'm not sure if he really cares about me, you say, we have known his love and we believe in that love. We trust in that love that he has for us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God. And God in him. So when you're over on this side and you've gotten your hurts healed by God and his love has washed all those pains away and healed your heart, then you've dwelt in God and he dwells in you. And that love is expressed everywhere you are. And herein is our love made perfect or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, talking about judgment, remember in the last few weeks we were saying that we have no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and we're in him. And so we have no judgment, no passing of sentence against us, no guilt. We are completely right, made right with from God did it. Jesus did it, right? You with me? Amen. Somebody say thank you. All right. I know I'm a teacher. I'm not a preacher so much, but okay. So we don't have to have any fear when judgment comes because we're not going to be judged. We have boldness in that day, okay? And when the devil tries to bring accusation against us, we have a confidence. Says, no, devil, I don't receive that accusation. I mean, Jesus' blood, that's what you say first off. Jesus' blood washed that sin away that I just did. And I don't receive the condemnation and I'm not going to take the punishment for what I just did because the blood of Jesus was spilled for me for that, for this very thing. So you just receive Jesus. Okay. So we have boldness. Now, thinking about boldness, I love the story that Keith Moore talks about when years ago, he had this Doberman, big Doberman, mean looking Doberman. And when some salespeople tried to come up to his yard one time, they were about to get out of their car, and this Doberman snuck up on them, really. He didn't even announce his arrival. He just snuck up behind them, stuck his head in their window. And Keith Moore said they look like they're almost ready to put a new sunroof in that car because they were so freaking out. And of course, they didn't stay; they left. But this friend of Keith Moore came, and this guy had a little boy, which is probably like 2 or 3 years old, little guy. And so when they got out of the car, here comes this Doberman. And he's scary. He's big, especially to a 2 or 3 year old. So that little boy screamed and ran behind daddy and was hiding behind daddy. And his daddy was a great big guy, you know. And Keith Moore spoke to the dog. And then he said, he's okay now. He won't hurt you. And so the daddy said to the little boy, it's okay. He won't hurt you. And that little boy got some boldness. He come sneaking out from behind his daddy and out to where the dog was, and he reached his hand out and touched the dog right on the nose. So, you know, when you know the love of God for you, the things that used to terrify you, you just reach out and touch it right on the nose. You get some boldness in you. Okay, next verse. There is no fear in love. So if there's no fear, that means that there is total faith. You have faith and fear. If you have zero fear, you have 100% faith. If you have zero faith, you have a lot of fear. You know what I'm saying? If you've got a lot of fear, that means your faith is little or weak. And if you have a lot of faith, that means you don't have hardly any fear. You're not afraid. And so there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment or because you're afraid of punishment. And remember we said there's no punishment anymore because Jesus took that punishment for us. For he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And some translations don't have the word him. They say we love because he first loved us. And so we have that love because he loved on us. You know, he is the initiator of love. He's not waiting for you to love him before he responds. He's the one that abounds to you with his love, runs across the room and grabs you in a big bear hug, that kind of love. Yeah, God doesn't need our love. He's so great that he is self-sufficient in who he is. That whether you love him or don't love him doesn't affect him because he's satisfied with who he is. And he's still going to love you because he chooses to, because that's what he likes. And Micah, I think it's 6:8, it says that the Lord, no, sorry, Micah 7:18 says the Lord delights in mercy. He delights in it. He gets his kicks by showing mercy to you. That's what he loves. That's what thrills him. Okay.
So our ability to love God
Help me preach here. All right.
God does not change his ability to love us.
Yes, and that's what we call unconditional love. There, it's agape, which is the Greek word for love in the New Testament. So it's not conditioned on what you do. If you, I mean, you can work to blaspheme Jesus and put it all over Facebook, all kinds of evil things about Jesus, and he's not going to stop loving you. He's going to continually keep working to try to help you and to bless you and to get you to a place where he can, you're really blessed, because he loves you, and that's who he is. He is love. And even if you try really, really hard to love him, he loves you because he loves you, because he wants to love you, not because you're great. You're the object of his love because he's so full of love. He's like, somebody, let me love on you. I've got so much. I got to give. I got to love. I think it was F.F. Bosworth in Christ the Healer said that if you were to take the Pacific Ocean and somehow put a tarp underneath it and elevate that ocean up above the earth, can you imagine the pressure, the heaviness and the pressure of that? And if someone just reached out and just poked, just touched that tarp or whatever you'd call that thing, it would just gush all over them. That's how it is with us. We just take a tiny little step towards God and he abounds towards us and overwhelms us with all of his graciousness and kindness, right? Yeah. He's amazing.
John always talks about John always talks about, he calls himself the disciple whom the Lord loves. And in the book of John and throughout John's writing, he never focuses on his ability to love God.
Yeah. And you know that he was at the cross when Jesus was dying, and Jesus entrusted his mother, Mary, into John's care. John was there. Yeah, and Peter, who was trying, he was saying, I'll never deny you. And he was boasting in his love for God. He was actually the one that denied him 3 times. So if we boast in our love, like, I love the Lord, and we boast in that, we're going to not have much. But if we boast in his love for us, you're going to see much more grace poured out. Let me give you some reasons why we know God loves us. Reason number one, reasons why we know God loves us. It's not necessarily in any order, but this is the first reason. For the Bible tells me so. Okay? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So let's look at some scriptures about the Bible telling you so. Isaiah 49:16. Can you put these scriptures up there really fast, Dylan? I don't know how. Ooh, yeah. He's fast. Okay. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The Lord tattooed you in his hand. Have you ever seen anybody with tattoos with their loved one, their names, tattooed? Think of that. The Lord, he tattooed you on his hand. In Zechariah 2:8, says, whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. Now, do you know what the apple of your eye is? I guess you could think of Artie. You know how he talks about Charity, his little granddaughter, his niece, right? Okay, the apple of his eye. That means that God's not just tolerating you, he adores you. That there's a big difference. You guys with me? He's not just tolerating you. Sometimes you feel like he's just enduring me. he has to love me because he's my dad, but he doesn't really like me very much. Maybe I'm not his favorite or something. No, it's not like that at all. You are his favorite. You have his favor. You're the apple of his eye. When he thinks about you, his face lights up. You're the apple of his eye. You know, the apple of your eye is your pupil, right? And if you get really close to somebody, you can actually see your own reflection in their eye, in their pupil. And so that's how much he adores us. How about Luke 12:7, where it says that he knows the number of hairs on our head. I mean, that this is not a God that like created the world and then he just sits back and watches it all crumble and do whatever they want to do. No, he's intimately involved in every detail of your life. How many of you know how many hairs are on your head? Probably, maybe some of you have a few less than you had a few years ago. I don't know. But, you know, when I worked at the dentist office, we learned there are 32 teeth, adult teeth, if you include your wisdom teeth. So if we can imagine, we know how many teeth we have. I'm sure that God knows how many hairs there are on our heads. Wow. But he cares. And you know how he said that a sparrow won't fall to the ground without the Father noticing it. And he said, fear not, you are worth much more than many sparrows. Okay? One day recently, I took Rachel to school and I'm driving home. And there's a country road kind of behind this, even though we're in the suburbs, there is a country road there. They have hay bales and, you know, it's just a little country. And so I'm just going 55 down the road. And this little bird, poor bird, he just flew out right in front of me. And I didn't really smack the bird, but he hit a little bit and flipped and landed on the road. And you could tell his wing was going, and then that was the end of him, because all the cars behind me, you know. Okay, anyway, bad picture. But if that, you know, if that touches your heart, I touched my heart. I mean, I felt sorry for that little bird. And think, you are worth more than many birds. You are much more valuable. You know how the Lord said that he came to seek and save those who are lost? When Jesus came, that was his purpose, to find the lost ones and to save them. And when the Pharisees talked about those lost people, they didn't call them lost, they called them sinners. Jesus never used the word sinners. He used the word lost, sheep. And because that shows the value. If I had like an ink pen, maybe just a ordinary pen. I don't have an ordinary. But let's say you have a Paper Mate or a Bic, right? And it comes up missing. You just go in the drawer and find another one, right? But what if you had a really special one made of gold? And it was engraved with someone really special that gave it to you. If that pen came missing, you would stop everything and find that pen, right? That pen was lost. You would not say your Paper Mate pen was lost, but you would say that was lost, and that shows how valuable it was. And you are human beings, we should say, are gold-plated. We are. We have such high value. If, you know, the devil wants to paint a picture through evolution and through other kind of scientific crazy things to try to tell us that we're not worth very much. But the price that was paid for us shows our value. It wasn't just a few dollars paid for us. It wasn't even a few $100,000 or $1 million paid for us. It was the blood of God, God's Son, right? That tells your value. So the devil will come to you and say, you know, God doesn't love you. You're no good. You're worth nothing. And you say, well, how come Jesus paid such a high price for me then? And he calls me lost and he came and found me, right? So you can get cocky. Yes. Mm-hmm. you know, this is Christmas time, and we give gifts to the people that we love. And God has given us a lot of things. If you just think about your house and all the wonderful things that are in your house and your car and everything, that just those tangible material things, that's a blessing, right? That's a blessing, the things that the Lord's given to us. But man, there's so many other things that are even greater blessing than that. So let me tell you a few of them. Another reason that we know that God loves us is because he gave us the Holy Ghost. Man, what a gift. I mean, he didn't just say, I'm going to give you a bag of chocolates, which that's nice, but he didn't say that, especially the truffles. Okay, no, he didn't even say that. He said, I'm going to give you a real gift. And he gave you the Comforter, yeah, the Holy Ghost. And he said he's going to stay with you forever. He's going to help you. He's going to help you pray. He's going to help you do your finances. He's going to help you drive to work. He's going to help you every bit of your life. He's going to be right there inside you, helping you with everything. Man, what a gift. And besides him, think about all the gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge. When you think of God, how he has spoken to you through a word of knowledge or word of wisdom, or he's prophesied to you, or any of the other gifts of the Spirit. When he does that, it's like he's saying, I love you. That's why I'm giving you all these gifts, ministering to you with all these gifts. And also the ministry gifts. You know, where it says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. Man, these are great gifts. This is not just a little thing that will rust and be broken in a few months. You know what I'm saying? These are really gifts. He said, I love them so much. I'm going to give them an apostle and some apostles. I'm going to give them prophets. I'm going to give them some evangelists and pastors and teachers because I love them so much. So whenever Pastor gets up, Pastor Wayne, Pastor John gets up to minister, you got to see a big bow wrapped on around them, you know, because it's God's gift to us. He's saying, I love you. That's why I gave you a good pastor, gave you good teachers and prophets that can help you and minister to you. What else did he give us? Well, let me give you some scriptures here. Luke 15:31. He said, this is the story of the prodigal son, but it's an example of God our Father. He said, Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours, is thine. All that I have. What does God have, God our Father? Does he have healing? He said, all that I have is yours. Does he have finances? Maybe not up in heaven, but he knows how to get them to you. He's got resources. God knows how to get things to you. He's good at that. He will move on a person's heart. I'll think, I ought to do this for this person. And just God moving on people's hearts and getting you things. But he said, all that I have is yours. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom. That means the whole thing, everything that he has. Romans 8:32 said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He didn't spare Jesus. He will definitely take care of all your needs and all your desires. He just abundantly give you all things. 1 Corinthians 3:21 also says that all things are yours. Praise God. Praise God. You guys are so quiet. How about, let me just give you a couple of scriptures. I'm going to let you go here, but I want to give you these two scriptures. 1 Peter, and I want to go to the Amplified. 1 Peter 5, 7. You know, in the King James, it says, you know, that casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. In the Amplified, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately. He's got, and he cares about you watchfully. So he's got his eye on you. He's taking care of you. He is thinking ahead for you and preparing things for you. He cares about you. Praise God. And then Hebrews 13:5, also in the Amplified. This is another one of my favorites. Let's just go to the middle of it here where he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, in the King James. It says, for he, God himself, has said, not somebody said this about God, he said this about himself, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not. There are actually three negatives that precede the verb in the literal Greek. So this is very accurate to say it three times. And if God said it three times, it's really important. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. He's not even going to relax his hold on you. Assuredly not. Oh, I love this verse so much. Because you can believe God for anything with that verse. You know, Lord, are you going to give me support so I can get this accomplished? He said, I'm not going to give you up or leave you without support. I will not in any degree, not even any degree, leave you helpless or forsake you, like turn his back on you, or let you down. Not in even the slightest degree. He's not even going to in the slightest degree let you down. Assuredly not. Praise God. All right. I like it anyways. You guys are thinking real hard. Praise God. Assuredly not. Lord, I thank you that your great love has been poured out on us through Jesus. Thank you that your blood has washed us. Your healing has been accomplished on the cross. And your great love, Lord, that you're so kind and so generous to give us all things. You're such an abundant God. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your abundance, Lord. Thank you for blessing us. What a good God you are. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you guys need anything, you can come up here. We'll pray for you.